Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thanks so much for joining us, whether it's your Wednesday night. I know for a lot of you, it is your Wednesday night. It's still my Wednesday night. Or if it's your Thursday morning, ouch. But, you know, yay for Thursday. Thanks for joining us wherever you are on the globe, whether it's United States, Canada. I know we've recently picked up Toronto and some of our affiliates in Canada again. So for a while, those stations and local stations have been doing this all over the country and north of the border. Sometimes broadcasting news and sometimes using our affiliates for different programming, which is nothing to do with me. So people ask me all the time, what happened? Why aren't you on this station or that station? I don't know. I don't make those decisions. In fact, you're the one who tells me. I don't even know it until someone finds me on social media and asks me. But I had reached out to our Toronto affiliate on which I was a guest. Oh, gosh. A month and a half ago, 2 months ago now, AM 590. And they, as a courtesy to me, did send me an email recently to say that we were going to be broadcast on that affiliate and that network again after they had kind of done their different experiment, their local experiment for a couple of months. So if you're listening on the Fan 590, we'd love to hear from you. You can let us know on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. There's been a lot of talk about Dak Prescott, a lot of talk about the franchise tag. The Cowboys are actually getting him for cheaper in 2020 than if they had signed a new deal before Wednesday's deadline. But do you believe this changes anything with the Cowboys, with Dak Prescott? I tend to think it doesn't, unless the wheels fall off this season. And this season is such an aberration because of everything going on that I feel like it's hard to judge this season and the production of this season in that same lens and under that same microscope that we do typically with the NFL. I don't know that that's fair. Of course, life isn't fair. Certainly not fair for quarterbacks. They either get way too much of the credit or far too much of the blame. But I know there are a lot of you out there who are waffling on Dak Prescott as the, not just the present, but the future for the Dallas Cowboys. But we've heard Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones say over and over, he is their quarterback and they're not in the market for someone else. And so there's another year here where, let's be honest, like Howard Balzer said, either he bets on him and it turns into an even bigger payday because of maybe some other quarterback dominoes that drop or because of how he performs in the field or because of what the Cowboys do in 2020, or it could be the opposite. The wheels fall off somehow. I tend to think that won't be the case with their new head coach, Mike McCarthy. But that's my faith in coach, also my faith in the coaching staff that he has put together, my faith in the fact that you got a lot of veterans on this roster and that they're not starting fresh, though, of course, they are trying to learn a new system, new terminology, yada, yada, yada. But it could be the opposite. It could be that it's not the quarterback that Mike McCarthy wants. Now, he has to make that decision with Jerry Jones, who's the general manager. But maybe that's the case. Now, they wanted him for 5 years, so it would have been, regardless of what McCarthy wanted or what McCarthy thought, if they had signed him to the 5-year deal. But you know how often coaches, even new general managers, come in and they want to bring in their own guy. They want their own guy that fits their system. McCarthy's been around the block for a long time. He's worked with a lot of different quarterbacks, though in Green Bay, it was primarily Aaron Rodgers as a starter. Not the whole time, obviously, but it was a lot of Aaron Rodgers, and there aren't many Aarons out there. So there's two ways this could go. Either Dak Prescott, in fact, gambles on himself and it turns into a bonanza. Boom! Or it's the opposite. Maybe it gains him no extra money, extra traction, extra anything. And it's the opposite effect. Again, I don't know how fair it is to judge anything that happens in 2020 the way that we normally do, which as sports fans is typically harsh. But what's your reaction? Does this change how you feel about Dak or the Cowboys offense? You can find me on Twitter. Clearly it changes nothing for Jerry Jones. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We've got some other news in sports that I want to get to for sure. We're also going to spend a little time talking about the NBA bubble. And gosh, I'm impressed so far with the fact that they've gotten to this point. And there haven't been any teams kicked out. There haven't been any major issues. Although you do already have a couple of guys who've crossed the boundary and found themselves outside the bubble. You definitely have that. And it feels like every single day it's another Brooklyn Net who tests positive for COVID-19. I think the number is 8 now, though that does include Kevin Durant, which that was pre-bubble. But goodness. Did Michael Beasley even have time to unpack before he got the virus and that was the end of that? And it does, now I could be wrong, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but it does sound like there have been a couple of guys who have tested positive once they got to Orlando. Now, I don't know if that means when they were in the quarantine, the 48-hour mandatory quarantine before they actually got into the bubble, but it feels precarious to me. Like they are perched on a balance beam where little pixies are doing flips, but most of us, our feet don't even fit on that balance beam. It feels like they're teetering back and forth. Certainly when you've got guys who opt out or guys who can't play, it creates opportunities for others. And this story, at least, is super cool. Maybe you're a fan of Jamal Crawford's. He's a guy who I feel like can pick up a basketball and boom, instantly can spark your offense. And we're going to see. He's waited more than a year to get back into the NBA. It was the Nets who came calling because they have to fill out their roster. Jamal is now 40. But as a guy who's been a sixth man for a good portion of his career, a guy who's been able to come off the bench and breathe life into an offense, a guy who's taking care of his physical body, and now, actually, because of Vince Carter's retirement, is the oldest player in the NBA. But how cool is it that he now gets this other opportunity? Maybe he wasn't their first choice or their second choice or their third or even their fourth. But it was pretty awesome to see a lot of the members of the NBA, a lot of other players welcome him back with tweets or with Instagram messages. And the fact that they respect him so much, that means a lot to Jamal.
Having your peers respect is everything. You know, I learned that a long time ago that, you know, some people see you one way, some people see you another way, but having your peers respect is what's really important. And so for all those guys to tweet that and support it, it made me feel really good. You know, I just thankful for it, humbled by it. Really, really blessed.
Speaking of humbled, he expected a contract long before this. He had most recently played in 18-19 with the Suns. I don't know if you guys remember the 51-point game that he had off the bench. That was late regular season. And, of course, the Suns were a bit of a mess That's an understatement, potentially. But he thought that he would get a new contract, and it didn't happen. And that's humbling for a professional athlete, especially one who's late in his career, feels like he can still contribute, is in touch with his own sports mortality, recognizes that the end is near, but doesn't think it needs to be now. And so he says he went through a ton of emotions, that he was frustrated, that he was upset, that he was angry, that he felt like he still had a lot more to give, and he wanted the chance to show it. And now, boom, along come the Nets. And it's cool. I don't know if the Nets are going to make the playoffs. I don't know how long they'll stick around, especially when you think about the fact that their roster is essentially been gutted. But I just know that Jamal Crawford gives me someone to root for inside this bubble.
I talked it over with my family. My wife was like, you have to go do this. My son felt the same way. Obviously, the NBA took all the proper measures, and the protocols have been unbelievable. Even the quarantine part for the last 6 days has been hard, but, you know, it's stuff you have to do. And for me, I said I'm willing to take the chance because I feel like they got all the bases covered.
Can I tell you something I heard him say that just resonated with me? And I believe it applies to any passion that we have in life. For him, it's basketball. But I want to read you this quote, and actually I'm going to tweet it when we get to a break. When you're in love with it, you're willing to do anything it takes. Now, for him, that's basketball. For me, it's always been radio. I go back to, early in my career, when the pay was terrible. The hours were worse. I was moving all over the country. A lot of times I was in jobs with bosses that were, forget, supportive. They didn't even, you couldn't even say they weren't supportive. That's how far away we were from supportive. It was rough at the beginning, waiting for an opportunity, hoping that something would stick, getting fired multiple times, really for no reason, just because. And my mom said to me, how long are you going to chase this dream with nothing to show for it? Now, it sounds harsh. And at the time, it felt harsh. But what my mom was asking me was, how long is it going to be worth it to you? Right now, you don't have anything to show for all these efforts, all the time and the energy, the blood, sweat, and tears you're pouring into it. But you know what that did? Hearing my mom ask that question, taking then a real good look at what my goals were, what my dreams were, and how much I was willing to give up, how much I was willing to sacrifice to pursue my dreams, it made me realize I would do anything to make those dreams come true. Anything. I didn't care about being broke. I didn't care about moving all over the country. I didn't care how many people told me I wasn't going to make it or couldn't do it. When you're in love with it, you're willing to do anything it takes. That's the beauty of having passion. And Jamal Crawford has that passion deep inside himself, a passion that I can relate to and identify with. As I have chased this passion for 20 years. I don't know if I'll ever adequately be able to express or even understand how much I gave up for it. Maybe someday when I'm looking back, I try not to do that now. I certainly know that at the beginning of my career, if I knew some of the sacrifices, the moving all over the country, the money stuff, living paycheck to paycheck, the angst of being a female in this business and not really having anyone to pave the way for me, the discrimination, the harassment, stuff that I've talked about in the past, it doesn't matter to me anymore. But I think personal sacrifices too. But I think it's better. I definitely think it was a plan. It was the plan that I not know everything that was in store for me along the road, because I might have given up. It would have been discouraging to see it all at once. But when it's a day at a time, a job at a time, a year at a time, it becomes a little bit easier to manage. Easy is probably not the right word for it, but I appreciate this from Jamal Crawford, this sentiment. You're willing to do anything it takes. Jump on a team that may only have 8 games remaining. Insert yourself into a bubble. Go through all of this crazy testing. Try to pick up with a bunch of guys that you don't really know. Join them for a practice when you're really the last-ditch option just to play basketball. And I think it's awesome that his family supported him in it too, knowing how much this means to him. Even if it is for a really short time, maybe it's an audition. He wants to keep playing. If he has more to give, maybe this translates into something else for 2021. So, awesome. Congratulations to Jamal. Like I said, I will be rooting for him. Maybe a 51-point game in the bubble is exactly what it will take. I'm not sure who else is left on the Nets to actually handle the basketball. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Let's see, what else? We've got Aaron Judge returning for the Yankees. We've got, I would say it's good news, but it's also bad news. Isn't that everything these days? From the world of golf, for those of you who are excited about seeing Tiger Woods tee off on Thursday, I hope your enthusiasm is not tempered by the fact that, for now anyway, there are no plans to include fans, though that could change down the road. And then also I have to tell you about who I ran into and had a conversation with on Wednesday. It was pretty cool. It actually was the highlight of my week, I think, because she and I, we were able to agree as we look ahead to a significant date in sports. So I'll explain that coming up.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Do you know we are just over a week away? Just over a week away from what is supposed to be opening night for Major League Baseball. It begins with a doubleheader on Thursday, July 23rd. I keep saying it to myself. I keep repeating it. I keep trying not to count the days, and yet it's impossible. And I know for a long time I felt nothing for you, baseball. I mean, nada. Zilch. But now as it gets closer, in spite of myself, I'm getting more excited. I can feel the anticipation building. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. John Sterling with the call on the Yankees radio network. Aaron Judge had his first at bat Wednesday after he missed three intra-squad games with a stiff neck. It's a B-I-T-C-H, that stiff neck. Actually, I'm sure all of us can identify with sleeping wrong. Maybe you got the pillow stacked up the wrong way, or you fall asleep in this awkward position and you wake up with a stiff neck. So I get it. Now, you and I don't hit Judgian blasts. So maybe a little more of a nuisance if you're Aaron Judge, but still, he missed three games because of that stiff neck, but stepped into the batter's box and blasted a home run in his first at bat back in the lineup on Wednesday. So that's kind of fun. I tend to believe the 60-game schedule is perfect for Aaron Judge. Come on, man. You got 60 games in that body. I know you do. I know it. And so, as you can imagine, he was happy to be back and happy to be able to unleash some of that power. And now here we are, sitting just over a week away from the Yankees playing at the Nationals, which will be the first game of the season. World Series champion hosting a team with, well, perennial World Series aspirations.
Yeah, 8 days away. We're going to squeeze as much as we can out of these next 8 days and try to get the reps in we can. I think you guys kind of see during, like, BP, we got, you know, guys out of second base, you know, working on, you know, getting some reads and, you know, just kind of getting the little things that we usually do during spring training just to get right. So I think we're ready. I'm ready.
I've kind of been there in the course of the season. Your neck kind of gets jammed up on you, and you can kind of fight through it and sometimes leads to some bad habits and stuff, but I was confident that especially the way he was progressing each day that he would get to this point. But yeah, it's always nice to see the big fella go out the front door.
The big fella out the front door, not the back door. Manager Aaron Boone, certainly glad to see Judge back in the lineup. That's an understatement. Go out the front door. I don't think I've ever heard that from Aaron Boone before. Maybe I just wasn't paying close enough attention. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. So baseball, are you getting excited yet? In fact, I think it'd be fun. Let's put a poll out there, producer Chris. A poll that something along the lines of, what's your excitement level for the 2020 baseball season, or even just opening night? We could just limit it to opening night. Opening night, opening day. I guess every team has an opening day. At least we hope every team has an opening day. We could go with over the moon excited. Actually, I wish we could do boom as an option. That'd be kind of funny. Over the moon excited, cautiously optimistic, meh. Now, I don't use the word meh, but I feel like there are a lot of people out there that would know exactly what meh meant. Or then those of you who are the doom and gloom, there needs to be a doom and gloom option. They're not even playing one game. I'm still seeing that from you guys on social media. I mean, if that's how you feel, by all means, exercise your right to free speech. But, I mean, we are getting closer and you're running out of time to say they're never going to get this season off the ground. So that'll be cool. You can look for that poll on our social media. I'm not over the moon excited yet. I'll get there, I think, when I see them take the field. I'm trying to hold back. I'm not so great at holding back. I'm an emotional girl, so I tend to not hold back very well. But in this year of 2020, I've learned the disappointment is everywhere. And if you get your hopes up, I don't want to say in every case, because that's not true. But pretty much a lot of what I've gotten my hopes up about in 2020 has turned into a disappointment, both personally and professionally. And professionally, it is what it is. I still have to do a radio show, so you know. But it's been a lot of disappointment, so I'm trying to avoid more of that feeling, that letdown. I know you guys understand what I'm talking about, whether it's sports or something else. For instance, and this is not something that I can do anything about right now, so I just had to let it go. But I still have no idea when I'm going to be able to see my Grammy Helen. And I have to be careful when I call her because I don't want to be down in the dumps. I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want to be upset about it. But it's impossible for me to see her right now. And so after a few months of thinking, okay, we're getting closer. The worst is behind us. I'm confident at some point before the summer is over, I'd even save some vacation time. I'll be able to get up to Wisconsin and see her. It's literally impossible. Not for me to get there, but for me to see her. And so that kind of disappointment, we've had a lot of plans getting canceled. I know you're in the same boat. Things you were looking forward to. Some of you, weddings even, graduations, proms. Whatever it is, whatever your perspective, we've all gone through a lot of disappointment. So I'm trying to be tempered in my enthusiasm, which is not a place I'm familiar with. If you know anything about me, I'm not so tempered really in anything, but I'm trying. It'll be nice when I can just unleash my enthusiasm again. So this chance encounter on Wednesday, kind of cool. Especially for those of you who love football or watch NFL Network, you know Kimberly Jones, a great reporter, does a lot of work with the New York teams, Jets, Giants, yada, yada. But she's awesome regardless of the assignment. And so we ran into each other and it was cool to be able to talk to her. We agreed on actually, she almost got knocked over by my dog. It was not on purpose, but my dog got very excited to see her. Well, really very excited to see anyone. And so the dog goes busting toward her. And for a second there, it looked as though Kim was scared. So Penny was fine and Kim was great. And after a second, she was all excited to talk to Penny and meet Penny. But yeah, I had to apologize for my dog scaring the crap out of her for a brief nanosecond there. Anyway, so after Penny plopped down in the grass, because that was all the enthusiasm she had, I had a chance to talk to Kim and we were thinking about the NFL. And so we agreed on this. If they can just get the season off the ground, we believe that's the biggest hurdle. Now, granted, there's a lot to be done to keep the season operational. But to us, to both of us, we agree that if they can get it off the ground, if they can get to the point where they actually kick off in the season openers and they get 1 week, 2 weeks behind them, it may not be smooth sailing, but they will be sailing. If they can get to the point where they agree on the health and safety protocols, they agree on what the locker rooms are supposed to look like, they agree on travel procedures, and to the point where the athletes actually are in, not the bubble, but in the routine, they're going through the testing, they're understanding the importance, they're keeping themselves safe. And I think many of them want that opportunity. They want to get to that point. But Kim and I agree, the biggest hurdle is just to get football on the field and get started. And we actually talked about the MLS example. I wouldn't call it a model necessarily because they're in a bubble. But how bumpy their re-entry. Two teams forced to withdraw. Games postponed. It's been, it seems like, to this point, more bad news, tensions running high, some testing snafus, and even with the NBA, it's the same thing. Right now, there's more talk about the anonymous, they're calling it the anonymous stitch line. there's more talk about guys getting the virus, guys not allowed in the bubble, guys leaving the bubble, the snitch line, than there is about actual basketball. But it's happening, and they're getting closer. They're 2 weeks from Thursday. The NHL will follow days later. So eerily quiet around hockey. Just strange. But yeah, Kim and I, we agree that the biggest hurdle is just getting these guys in camp and getting the season started. That to me, to Kim, is the... that's the humongous mountain they have to climb. And it's humongous. We're talking Mount Everest here. Don't underestimate. Because of the number of people, because of the logistics, it's a greater feat and will be a greater achievement than any of these other sports. Not to mention they're not doing a bubble. They're not even changing their schedules. And so it's a lot to ask. It's a lot to accomplish. It's a lot to decide, to figure out, to agree on, and they're not there yet. But it was cool to see Kim, and thankfully she still likes me and my dog. It was so nice to run into her. I haven't run into anybody these days. So it was fun. It was nice to laugh. It was fun to talk a little football with someone else who's in the business for a min. That's the deal. There's a long way to go before football gets on the field. I can't even start to get excited. I can get real depressed real quick if I think about a fall without football, but I refuse to dwell on that. I can't. All right, so what is your excitement level for baseball since baseball is up next? You can check out our show Twitter. After Hours CBS, a poll will soon pop up there.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
They're going to be cutting him off in a stretcher. I just want one day. No, that's not true. See, I say that, but then I know instantly it's not even true. I want a full season of just talking about football. I'm willing to give you, as much as this pains me to say, I'm willing to give you a baseball, basketball, and hockey finish, start, finish, whatever else. I'm willing to give you the rest of 2020 with those three sports under the virus umbrella. I just want to talk about football with no virus. Is that too much to ask? I think it is in 2020. I just have to dial back my expectations. That's the deal. I really, really, really miss those days when we were debating whether or not Tom Brady winning with the Buccaneers would mean Brady was more responsible for the Patriots' success than Bill Belichick, or what it's going to be like for Belichick without Brady. But that's just, it's not possible. It's a thing of the past. I can barely remember what it was like when we initially were talking about Brady leaving the Patriots. And then, of course, finding out a little bit later on. Initially, he just said he was leaving the Patriots, but finding out a little bit later that he was going to the Buccaneers.
Sorry.
I'll have to go back and look at the exact date. But that was a time when I can... It seemed like it was right before everything broke down. Not before everything shut down, before everything started to become more and more about the virus than it was about sports and anything else in life, really. I can kind of remember what that feels like, but not completely. It feels foreign. March 20th. So we did already have things shut down then? Is that what you're saying? But you know what, though? Even though that was right around the time that everything shut down, the fact is, the first month, really, of the sports hibernation was all NFL free agency. So people kept saying to me, what are you talking about? And I would just point to the NFL and the free agency. March 17th. So it would have been a week later. Free agency was all the rage for at least a month. And so all I had to say was, well, we've been talking about Tom Brady. Yeah, things had shut down then for sure. So I guess that's not a perfect example. But I was still in studio. We didn't expect that it was going to be this long of a delay before the Big Four could return. Baseball's first up. Honestly, do you remember those days when we were talking about how football was in such a great place because it would be so far down the road that the virus would be completely handled and contained? Gosh, and then here's the stat that I saw. I think it was Tuesday. This blows me away. 18% of the new virus cases on Tuesday across the entire globe, 18% of them were in Texas, California, and Florida. Wowzers. Three states represented 18% of the new virus cases on the entire planet.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Wait, you can't make me laugh when I'm talking about virus stats. I feel like that's sacrilegious. Plus, people are going to get mad at me. I'm not laughing about new virus cases. I'm laughing about the fact that the stats are, we're just so completely blown over and bowled over by stats. But that's an astounding number. Three states represented 18% of the newest virus cases. I think it was Tuesday. I am extremely thankful that my mom lives out in the middle of the country. Now, she's in the same county as Houston, and I generally talk about her living in Houston, but she's not in the city. So I'm glad she's out where the deer and the antelope roam. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got a poll up about baseball, since baseball will be returning next. It's almost comical, right? The time that baseball spent arguing over salaries and pay cuts and the number of games, and they wasted all that time, and yet they're still the first of the Big Four to return. They are up next, a week from Thursday, if all goes according to plan. What is your level of excitement? So the poll is up on Twitter. I retweeted, so A-Law Radio, or on our show Twitter, and it's also on our Facebook page. And here are the options. Can't wait. Is that the Bart Scott voice? Cautiously optimistic. Yeah, that's me. That describes me in 2020. Most of the time. Maybe 85% of the time. Sometimes I'm just downright depressed. Mildly excited. That would be my meh option. Don't you love that Chris, the millennial, went with mildly excited instead of meh? Does he not like meh?
I don't even know what language he's speaking.
I know. This is not, I feel like this can't even be Chris. Do we have someone else working on the show with us?
Oh, it's Chris.
Did he do it on purpose, do you think? Because meh is so closely associated with millennials?
I haven't seen him in so long. I've lost the ability to figure him out.
Really? You have to see him to figure him out?
It made sense before I said it.
You guys are going to need plexiglass in the control room if you're ever going to work in the same place again.
It's a good idea.
If you'd like me to, I can do some investigative reporting. I'm going to get a pedicure on Thursday. Ah! I can't wait. And it's going to feel like a vacation. Seriously, it's going to feel like a spa, for heaven's sakes. But there is going to be plexiglass. I've already been warned. So if you'd like me to take some photos and bring them back so that I can share with you what it might look like to operate in plexiglass.
Sure.
I kind of feel like you guys should be encased in plexiglass. So maybe each one of you gets a booth.
Like one of those booths you get in where like the money is flying around. And
do you know what a phone booth is, producer Chris? He can't actually answer me, so that's why it's fun to make fun of him, because he's not able to answer.
Do you think he's ever seen one?
Yes. He does pride himself on being an older soul. You know that, right?
This is mostly true.
When I was at Lambeau Field 2 summers ago, there was a phone booth inside the stadium. It was kind of cool. It was hung on the side of a wall, but it was awesome. I took a photo of it just because I couldn't believe there was still one somewhere in the United States of America. And I don't even think it was operational, but they just left it there because it was a throwback. It was old school. Pretty sweet. Okay, so can't wait. Cautiously optimistic, mildly excited / meh. Not at all. Get to 2021. I feel like that's what people are yelling. Those are your 4 options. So the poll is up on Twitter and on Facebook, and I am also getting your responses. So I'll share some of those as we head through the show here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. As for fans in other sports, so it's too early really to know about the NFL. And as weird as it would be, I would still take football with no fans over no football. That seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? IndyCar had roughly 10,000 fans at a road course event last weekend. Now, it's a little different because you're talking 4 miles of real estate around the track. And so they could spread out the fans pretty easily. NASCAR had 20,000 fans at Bristol on Wednesday night. Now, this is the All-Star event. It's not going to be the rule here. We have seen a couple events like Talladega had roughly 5,000 fans spaced along the mile front stretch, but it's not something that we're going to see on a regular basis, unfortunately. At least I think it's unfortunate, because I do think there is a way to get some fans in the stands, similar to the way that people are spacing outside for graduations, right? I mean, there are people that I know, friends of mine who have attended graduations outdoors where they're all spaced out, or maybe you've gone to an outdoor party or barbecue. I went to a pool party. It was relatively small, but we stayed spaced out for most of the time. I'm trying to think of some other examples. Churches have held services outdoors. So when you think about a NASCAR event and spacing people out, or a golf event, a little harder because you're moving around a lot. So golf is one of those where a lot of fans are on the move. They don't stay in one place. Now, some people do. You may post up at one hole and not leave. But every time I've gone to a golf tournament, I've walked around. And usually there have been a lot of people walking around with me. So that's a little bit different. What are you going to do? Put arrows, dots outside around the greens? Stand here. Keep your distance. So I don't think it's as easy as it sounds to just allow a bunch of people to crowd onto a course and say, okay, keep your distance. NASCAR, though, you can mark the seats. You can make sure that they're staying apart. And it was pretty cool to see as many fans as we did. Now, they were willing to sell up to 30,000 tickets. The estimates were 20,000, but they were loud and they were happy, which was pretty cool. Now, coming up after the top of the hour, you know that Tiger Woods and the Memorial tees off on Thursday, and PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan talks about fans moving forward.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.